Welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, your headquarters for building a six-figure plus e-commerce business. I'm your host, e-commerce entrepreneur, and Jeff Bezos wannabe, Andrew Derry. Hey guys, Andrew here, and welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast. This is episode number 3, and have a great guest today, the well-known Gary Vaynerchuk is going to be joining us. Of course, well-known for his writing, for his belief in social media, but a lot of people don't know that he really got started with e-commerce. That's where his roots are online, when he took his family wine business online back in the late 90s. So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be discussing how important passion is when you're beginning an e-commerce store. Do you need to be passionate about what you're selling, or can you really pick a niche based on the research and just go that way? And then also we're going to be discussing Amazon, how to compete with them, and looking ahead to what's coming up for folks in the e-commerce world in the future. So lots of good stuff. Stick around for that discussion in the main segment. But before we dive into that, a first sale shout out to Julian Patrick of stovefittersmanual.co.uk. Julian writes in, "Got my second order today. The first order was a couple of weeks ago. Excited about the sales price and the profit. Great turnover already early on. I'm motivated." So congratulations, Julian. That's fantastic to hear. I love hearing these stories. And one thing I love about Julian's approach that he's doing really well is it's early on, but in another part of the email he sent in, he's really killing it with SEO, getting some traction, because he's doing a great job of writing very specific, long-form, very focused content about his niche, which is the self-installation of wood-burning stoves. You know, if you go to his site, stovefittersmanual.co.uk, he's got tons of really in-depth quality resources, guides, tutorials. You go to that site, you look around, and you very quickly come to realize that he knows what he's talking about. He's putting out a lot of high-quality information on a very niche topic, which is going to resonate very deeply with, you know, his target market. Another great thing is he doesn't even have an active shopping cart right now. Those orders that he has set up or that he received, they came from just telephone discussions he had with people. And I love this because a lot of times people get intimidated by I have to get a shopping cart up. Everything has to be perfect. You don't. Just get something online, provide a lot of value. You don't even need a shopping cart. If you're providing a lot of value in an industry or in a niche, an e-commerce niche like this, you can make sales over the phone. You don't even need the cart. Now, of course, he's working on that cart. He's working to get that up to speed to help, to help with scaling the business and automation. And of course, eventually as you grow, you're going to need a cart. But he started at a very basic level, and he's growing from there. So Julian, awesome work. Congratulations, and keep killing it. Another shout out to another e-commerce fuel reader who's got a site up online, Andrew Gertig of Charlotte, North Carolina. He just started up a2bikes.com, and he writes in, "I read your free ebook almost 2 months ago, and it motivated me to really get serious about building my own e-commerce business. Did some research based on your framework and launched a2bikes.com, selling balance bikes. It's not a perfect fit for your requirements, but I wanted to pull the trigger since starting has been my biggest problem in the past." Congratulations, Andrew. It's great getting the site up. And again, just commend you for pulling that trigger and moving despite having imperfect information or an imperfect niche. You learn so much by getting in and just getting your feet wet and starting, getting something basic online and marketing it. It sounds obvious, but it's the first step, and so many people don't do it. It doesn't have to be perfect. So just like Julian and just like Andrew, dive in with something. You know, someone once said, it's much better to do something and fail than to do nothing at all. So congratulations, guys. Great to see that you're making headway. If you've got a question, if you've got a first sale you want to celebrate, or just a comment you want mentioned here on the podcast, let me know. I'd love to hear from you. ecommercefuel.com/contact is the way you can drop me a line. One thing I came across online this week that I thought was worth mentioning, an article on Hacker News by Paul Graham titled "Do Things That Don't Scale." If you're not familiar with Paul, he's the founder of a software startup incubator called Y Combinator. And the point of the whole article was that people assume successful businesses just take off. If you come up with a great product or a great service, well, the market notices, and then there's just this flood of interest and bam, the business takes off like a rocket ship. When that's almost never the case. Successful businesses take off because they have a great product and service, but also because, you know, there's someone behind it, an entrepreneur behind it, really driving and building that early momentum. And he uses a company called Stripe, for example. Stripe has a great service. They're simplifying the way that payments are accepted online so that small merchants can accept payments easily without a lot of the red tape that they normally had to go through. So it's a great service. But those guys are really well known. They're successful now, but they're really well known for busting it early on and really hustling to get clients and to get clients using their software. You know, not only would they just send people emails or tell them about it, but they would actually take that step to install the software on their customer's computer to increase the likelihood that they would use it. And, you know, again, that's just the point of the whole article is you've got to be responsible for generating that early momentum. And that's something I've really, the last 6 months, started telling a lot of people and trying to emphasize is that early momentum is so important with a business. If you think that you're going to hire somebody to come in and do your SEO, hire someone to come in and figure out your market, hire someone to come in and really get your business off the ground, it's never going to work. You know, what you should do is you really need to focus almost exclusively on doing the stuff, like he says, that doesn't scale, figuring out who your customers are, doing a lot of that early marketing, doing a lot of that early research and really building momentum for your business. Like only an entrepreneur, only someone who's vested, has a vested interest in the outcome of the company can do and get that up to speed. And then once you get that up to speed and you've got organic momentum, and what I mean by that is you've got visitors coming without you having to do a whole lot of more SEO work. You have people coming from word of mouth referrals. You have repeat business. You know, once you have a business that's growing on its own, that's the perfect point to slowly start systemizing your business, bringing in team members, training them, and stepping away because you know you've got something that's working, that makes money, and you've got the momentum to keep it, you know, to continue to have that thing build and grow. I mean, I've had this in my own business, my first business. I really hustled for the first 6 to 9 to 12 months, and I did reasonably well in my second business. The first business was a site called Right Channel Radios. Second business, TrollingMotors.net, both e-commerce businesses, but TrollingMotors.net, where I stepped away way too early. I tried to pay other people to do stuff. It took a lot longer to get to the point, the same point of profitability as my first business. So that's kind of probably a topic for a complete episode on its own, but something that really, really just made me think and wanted to convey to you. Build that momentum early on and then hand it off. Don't try to have someone else do it for you. So that's my rant on momentum for the day. Enough about me. Let's move on to today's discussion with Gary Vaynerchuk.
First question, Gary, I love you were one of the original e-commerce pioneers, you know, building Wine Library in a period when like Netscape was the de facto browser and people were still terrified of shopping online. And, you know, so given your experience from the very beginning, what's the number one piece of advice you have for aspiring entrepreneurs who want to launch their own e-commerce venture today?
Well, I think they need to take the same energy into their e-commerce venture that I did into mine, which was, mine was, people are going to buy this way in 3 years. Okay? And that was kind of my thought. So I made the investment 36 months out, not what was going on at that moment. And it was really tough to like feel that way back then because a lot of people told me they'd never buy something online. Mm-hmm. People were petrified of putting their credit cards into a computer. Exactly. I would tell aspiring e-commerce people to think the same way, which is this. A site came along, you know, not too long ago called Woot.com, and it changed the way retail was done. All the flash sales, all the deal days came from that energy, right? And so I would say, one thing I'm thinking a lot about now is mobile, right? Who can win the most native, natural, easiest way to buy something on a mobile device? I think that person has a huge opportunity. So that's what I believe the way people are going to be shopping in 3 years, but somebody might be reading this thinking, wait a minute, what about Google Glasses? And if I can figure out a way that if somebody's looking at a shirt, they just press a button on their glasses and they buy it, and they're probably right. So don't take my word. Take your intuition, your research, your ability, your thoughts, your gut feel, and apply that to where the market is in 36 months. I think way too many people are playing in the reality of what it is right now versus 3 years from now, and I really believe that's the way to play, 3 years out.
So if you do look down the road, you know, maybe three, four, five years down, and anticipate the new normal, the kind of the new things that e-commerce stores are going to have to do to compete effectively, do you think mobile is at the top of that list?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, I talk to a lot of people who start online stores around a passion, but sadly, a lot of times they end up failing because their value proposition is too weak or the market demand isn't there. And the approach I've taken to e-commerce, my philosophy is to go after an in-demand niche where you can add value. It'll give you the best chance of success, maybe not even one you're interested in at the time. And then as you experience success, you can't help but become passionate about, you know, the thing, your business, one, and then the products you're selling, too. So, you know, obviously, you're...
I think that's the statement of an entrepreneur's entrepreneur.
And what do you mean by that?
I think the way you just articulated it is the same way that I could conceivably articulate it, but I do believe a lot of people aren't in the love of just selling the way you just described it.
So you think it's an approach, you know, that actually can work?
No, I don't. I think everybody's individual, and if you're an entrepreneur and you've sold lemonade and sold rocks and sold blow pops in school, mm-hmm. you're going to be able to do that, right? Because guys and gals like us, that's us, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I fell in love naturally with wine. It was nothing I thought that a 16-year-old was going to fall in love with, right? So I agree with you, but I also know there's a lot of people that don't roll that way,
yeah.
right? My mom can't roll that way. And so I would tell you that it's very dangerous to give a one-size-fit-all advice. And so, yes, but also no. And so what really happens is I don't think people realize that being an entrepreneur or a business owner is a talent, much like being a professional golfer or a painter. There's a funny belief that anybody can do it, and I don't believe that. I think anybody can have some form of success. But sustainable, this is what I do for my living success? No. I mean, the only way I think that could conceivably happen to people that don't have that talent is if they love the thing so much that they literally love it to success.
So how can someone out there who's thinking about starting an online store or an e-commerce venture, how do they know what gut questions do they need to really ask themselves and be honest with themselves about to say, hey, is this something I can actually pull off, or is it I'm just going to waste a lot of time and then maybe I'm going to be a lot better suited in the traditional 9-to-5?
Let's get real practical. If they're reading this right now and they have that feeling, they should just do it because they're going to be 70 and regretting that they never did it. I'd rather them lose $20,000 to $50,000 and be happy when they're 80 years old than not.
Yeah.
Again, you know, I'm answering this question in a format where the person reading this and having that feeling needs to go and do it. Does that make sense?
It does, absolutely. Amazon is something I'd love to get your opinion on. You know, they intimidate a ton of e-commerce merchants, especially the smaller guys without the scale and the pricing power and all the shipping options. And so if you're looking forward 3 to 5 years, what do you think their role is going to be in terms of it playing out in the e-commerce ecosystem? Do you think they're going to be really successful in taking over a lot of these smaller merchants that are selling a real niche products and focusing on a niche? Or do you think their huge size and just their obsession with growth is ultimately going to end up hurting them?
No, I think they're going to win. And I think they are going to eat up a lot of the small stuff, but they're going to eat it up as being the platform, meaning a lot of the small guys are going to thrive selling through Amazon as a platform more so than Amazon selling everything in the planet kind of thing. Amazon's also very vulnerable to small guys. The people that should be scared of Amazon are medium and big guys, not small guys. Small guys can scale effort. At Amazon can't. You can win on customer service and really trying and really caring and all the things that Amazon will never be able to do, like calling every single one of the customers that bought something, handwritten notes, you know, just the humanization. That's where a small entrepreneur and a small business can win, and that's where you need to play. You need to date a Goliath of them. You need to win with little rocks.
Okay. So, I mean, in terms of wine library, what you guys have done, are those the strategies you are taking? I mean, obviously, you're a niche wine reseller, but
yeah,
do you take
absolutely. I mean, I think we're bigger, you know, and so, like, we're even more vulnerable, like, I would say that if we were even smaller or only selling Pinot Grigio, we'd be fine. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas because we're like kind of more broad and a leader, we're definitely going to feel the heat. But if we continue to do things we're doing, like calling everybody who places an order for the first time, really giving personal recommendations, the only way we win is by out-humanizing, out-friending them.
So don't try to compete on Amazon's own level of efficiency and price. And really, the only way you're going to be able to tackle those guys in the long run and maintain a business is
it's like sports. It's like sports, right? Like boxing or football. You can't let them play their game, right? You hear that all the time.
Gary, for an ambitious 18-year-old with 50 grand in the bank, and he's interested in owning his own business someday. You know, I know you went to school, went to college,
yep.
but in today's, you know, in today's world with kind of a lot of the educational issues going on, a lot of the debt, you know.
By the way, I would have never went to college if I could have convinced my parents otherwise.
Well,
I thought it was a 4-year waste, and I would have been 4 years further along.
Wow.
I feel like I'm 30. I feel like I'm 37 right now, and I really feel like I'd be in the same place at 33. I really do.
Wow. So I guess I don't need to ask the question. So you would advise somebody to start their own, forget college, take that money, and start your own.
There's one thing I would say about college. It creates a lot of opportunity for social growth. So if you're going to do that, figure out a way to subsidize the social growth that at that age really brings a lot of value.
Now, when you say social growth, do you mean actually interacting with friends and peers, or do you mean professional networking?
Yeah, I mean leaving your parents' house for the first time, you know, I mean friends, I mean the fact that you're going to miss going to those parties and hooking up with guys and girls and drinking beer and all those life events. So that's going to make you act out at 25, 30, 35, and that will have an impact on your life. And so you just got to be, you know, we're looking at it from one equation. Do I think financially and business-wise you'll be more successful? I do. But, you know, that's not what life's just all about. And so you got to think about how to subsidize some of those social things. And so do you go to spring break with a couple of buddies each year? Like, be smart about how you do that.
You know, kind of tying in a little bit to personal stuff, things you love. You know, everyone loves that you know, you're going to be eventually the owner of the Jets. You know, everyone knows you're
right.
A huge advocate of social media. Everyone knows you're always in this just unbelievable, fantastic mood. Nobody's quite sure, you know, how. But, you know, these are all parts of your persona. But what's one thing, you know, that doesn't get talked a lot about that you love to do or you're passionate about that really people don't know about?
That's a great question for this series. You know, it's funny. I'm a fairly outrageously big open book. You know, I would say, you know what, something, I'll give you a good one. I'm in love with documentaries. I love documentary movies and have a lot of energy. Like if I'm, you know, if I don't want to be working or with my family, like if Lizzie and I are going out and Misha's at bed and Lizzie's taking 2 hours to get ready, if I can sneak in a documentary, you know, I love the 30 for 30 series that ESPN's doing or Serious Topics. I'll go to on demand and TV movie documentaries and really, like, that's the way I enjoy to consume content. And so that's something I don't think I've said much ever, trying to give you a little nugget for this interview. I would say I'm a big documentary buff.
That's great. Can your wife stay awake for the documentaries? Mine can't. She always just totally passes out.
She's pretty good. Lizzie can get into it. Like, you know, I love storytelling, and I think documentaries are so, like, raw and real. And the Bo Jackson ESPN 30 for 30 recently, it just was riveting stuff for me.
Okay, that is a good one. Great. Gary, I know you've got a short of time. We're getting close to how much we've got for allotted for this interview. Last question. You know, when you were building up Wine Library, what are a few of the big mistakes that you made over the course of taking that wine business from, you know, just a retail bricks-and-mortar operation into a full-scale e-commerce business that, you know, looking back, you wouldn't, you know, you'd do differently, and that also you could warn entrepreneurs against making those same mistakes, you know, now?
If you're successful and you've had some early success like I did, you know, even though I've always been very confident in myself, I don't think that I went all in two separate times. One was SEM. When Google AdWords came out, it was really working for me, but I should have went way more all in, and I let the market catch up. And I had three or four years where I could have been like the SEM leader, and it was inexpensive, and I didn't do the right thing there. So the big data stuff, I didn't win on that. And then the other mistake I think I really made was even though I knew YouTube was going to be much bigger than Vidler, I made Wine Library TV live on Vidler because I just liked the founders. And in hindsight, not betting on YouTube and amassing all those views and building up channels has been a mistake. And I knew it at the time, and I let my emotion of loving human beings trump what my business savvy was telling me. And I don't necessarily view that as a mistake, but, you know, at some level I do.
So really, I guess breaking down the twos would be, find what's working and really, you know, just go all in and utilize that the most, and don't let personal relationships trump your business judgment.
Yeah, and listen, that's only putting my business hat on. I'm glad I supported those good human beings at Diddler, but it definitely cost me, no doubt.
Got it. Well, Gary, again, thank you so much. This interview has been, you know, everything I'd hoped it'd be and more. It's a pleasure chatting with you. And
thank you, Ben.
That's going to do it for this week's episode, but if you enjoyed it, make sure to download my comprehensive 55-page guide to building a profitable online store, along with other subscriber-only content for free at ecommercefuel.com/ebook. A big thank you and congratulations going out to Rob from Raleigh, North Carolina, for picking up the guide last week. Rob, I'm going to be hooking you up with some glow-in-the-dark toilet paper. You know, all sorts of options here. You can put it in a guest bathroom, freak out your in-laws. You know, lots of different potential ideas. So look for that glowing teepee in your mailbox soon. Again, that address is ecommercefuel.com/ebook. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you again next time.